I call this meeting to order. This is a meeting of the Marshalltown City Council. We are in council chambers at 10 West State Street. The time is 5:30 and it is Monday, April 25th, 2016. The mayor and city council welcome comment from the public during discussion. Welcome to those of you who are here in chambers with us and welcome to the public at home watching on TV. Please step to the microphone if you do have a comment during our agenda tonight and state your name and address for the record. Please keep your comments brief so that others may have the opportunity to speak. At this time, please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First, we have mayor, council, and administrator comments. Are there any comments from the administrator?
Nope.
Council members? Okay. I do have one. I would like to introduce our newest city director. We have, not your job, sorry. You could be called the city director. We have our newest Parks and Rec director with us, Anne Marie Selness. She has a Bachelor of Science degree in entomology and a Master of Science degree in recreation management. Anne did her graduate work developing and teaching workshops for the public to identify and monitor butterfly populations in parklands. In March of 2015, she was nationally certified as a park and recreation executive through the National Recreation and Park Association. Selness hails from southeast Minnesota, where she has worked for years as state park manager of five different state parks and was currently the director of a special needs camp before we took her away. Both positions required management of a variety of indoor and outdoor recreation venues. So I want to say welcome to the city of Marshalltown. Thanks for choosing us. And do you have any comments?
I'm Ann Salmas. I'm very happy to be here, and I look forward to working with the City Council, department heads, and residents of Marshalltown. Parks and Rec is a busy department with lots of fun activities, and I look forward to bringing in new and creative programs and projects. And just thank you for having me here today. I look forward to working with all of you.
Thank you.
Very good.
At this time, we have some service, years of service awards. We have Chief Tupper is going to present two awards tonight. What's
that? Just one tonight.
Oh, just one. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Good evening. Mike Tupper, Marshalltown Police Department. If I could have Rhonda Allen somewhere, come on up here. We were going to recognize two people tonight, and before I talk to you a little bit about Rhonda, I wanted to let you know that Sergeant Rick Lang had intended to be here, couldn't make it tonight. Rick, this month, is celebrating 25 years with the Marshalltown Police Department, so we're very thankful for Rick's service. He has been a longstanding, obviously, and dedicated employee. He served our department honorably for the last 25 years. He's also a veteran of the United States Marine Corps. And I thought that I would point that out because that's very important to us and to Rick. Rick has served the department a variety of assignments. He's known for being passionate about the people he works with, and he's well liked by his peers and supervisors. And I don't know how many of you know Rick very well, but he's got a soft heart, and a lot of people don't recognize that. And recently, Rick distinguished himself, him and another sergeant. Took money out of their own pocket to make sure that an elderly woman that they were helping had food in a refrigerator. So that's the kind of guy that Sergeant Lang is, and we sincerely appreciate his 25 years of service. The other person it's my honor and pleasure to recognize tonight is Rhonda Allen. Rhonda has served our department as a clerk in the police department's records unit for 5 years. Rhonda is also known for her kind and gentle nature, which I really appreciate and respect about Rhonda. She always greets people with a smile, and she would go out of her way to help. She's one of our busier employees, but if somebody comes to her and says, I need help with something, she doesn't say no, she doesn't complain. She puts down what she's doing, and she gets the job done, and we really appreciate that about Rhonda. I also appreciate the fact that she always comes to work with a positive attitude, always willing to get the job done. She's a dedicated and hardworking professional. The employees in our records unit oftentimes are working in the shadows. Their work is no less important than anybody else that works in our department, though. The work Rhonda and her co-workers do each day is critical to our daily operations and the success of our department. Rhonda does an exceptional job and is an important part of the police department team. And I just want to thank Rhonda for her 5 years of service. Thank you very much.
I forgot roll call. I'm so sorry. Roll call, please.
Wearin?
Yes. Here.
Gowdy?
Here.
Greer?
Here.
Hoop?
Here.
Lamer?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Schubert?
Here.
Okay. We're going to remove item number 21, and we'll bring that back when it's time. And with that, I'll ask for approval of the agenda.
So move and adjourn.
Second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Gowdy?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hoop?
Yes.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Schubert?
Yes.
Wearin?
Yes. I'll entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any comments?
Yes.
Yes.
We would like to take off, I should have said this at the beginning, five, six, and seven. We want to, Justin would like to discuss those with you. Those inadvertently got put onto the consent. So once we finish the consent, if we could talk about those.
With that change, removing 5, 6, and 7, still moved and seconded, correct?
Yes.
Okay, great. Roll call, please.
Greer?
Yes.
Hoop?
Yes.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Schubert?
Yes.
Wearin?
Yes.
Gowdy?
Yes.
And Madam Clerk, would you please read the items that were just passed on the consent agenda?
Approve the council meeting minutes of April 11. Approve the bill list in the amount of $1,003,742.48. Received the building report for March. Reappoint to the Investment Advisory Committee Norm Bach, Kylene Rizak, Sarah Hesmer. Resolution approving contract and bond for the 2015 Oil Mix Streets Overlay Project with OMG Midwest, $425,460. Tentative resolution setting public hearing for the sale of property at 612 West Church Street. Resolution approving preliminary master plan for Eagle View at Wandering Creek First Edition and final master plan for Eagle View at Wandering Creek First Edition. Resolution approving preliminary plat for Eagle View at Wandering Creek and final plat for Eagle View at Wandering Creek First Edition. Resolution accepting dedication of Eagle View at Wandering Creek First Edition to Marshalltown. Resolution accepting quitclaim deed relating to Eagle View at Wandering Creek First Edition, sanitary and storm sewer easement, utility and water main easement. Renewal liquor licenses, American Legion, Hy-Vee Gas, Abarotu's Butuato, Golden Land, Zeno's Pizza, Best Western, Marshalltown, Elmwood Country Club, Tremont on Main, Center Street Station, Walgreens, Eastside Liquor and Groceries in the perfect setting.
Great, thank you, Madam Clerk. First item for discussion then, I need a motion to approve resolution 2016-060 accepting bid and authorizing the award of contract for biogas generator WPCP project 52015014 Ziegler Power Systems $319,165.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Yes, Mr. Anson.
Bob Ranson, the superintendent of the Water Pollution Control Plant. If you remember, this is a project where we are replacing our broken biogas generator at the plant. Bids came back very favorable, $319,000 and change for Ziegler. That was the cheapest by over $200,000. The next closest was $217,000 above that. If I may speak to just all three of these together, I think I can make a long explanation really short. Yep. This was one where we also had the gas cleaning equipment. That bid came in at $273,000. So as a department, we visited back and forth and decided that you wouldn't want to spend $275,000 to clean the gas that goes into a $300,000 piece of equipment if there were other options. So we went back to Ziegler and said, what can we do if our gas quality isn't quite as good as it needs to be? We found out we could change some internal components, make it more of a medium grade fuel engine. And that's what the change order is about, is changing those internal components. Fox Engineering went through, ran all the numbers. Everybody would have made those changes, so it's still a good bid. We just save $217,000 on gas cleaning equipment.
So then rather paying the $273,000 for this other separate piece, we're going to pay $41,875.
And that all that does is change some of the internal components to make it better for that hydrogen sulfide gas that we have a little bit.
It makes a difference on the sulfur content.
Yep.
Great idea. Great.
Are there any council questions? Are there any public questions, comments? Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
I guess the question is, can we, or do you all agree to lump 5, 6, and 7 together so we can just take one motion to do that, or do you want to take separate?
I move we lump them together.
Just be a second.
I would reword my motion so we carry all three of them at once.
Okay. I'd second that motion.
All right. That would be resolution 2016-060, 061, and 062.
Right.
It's been moved and seconded. Okay. Any comments about any of those? Okay. Hearing none.
I think we ought to compliment staff on that. A great job. They're saving us over $200,000. I think that's just great.
Yep. Yeah. Good job. Well done. Roll call, please.
Hoop?
Yes.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Schubert?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Gowdy?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Next, I need a motion to approve March 2016 financials.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Mrs. Steiner.
Good evening. I'm Diana Steiner, Finance Director. Before you have the March 2016 financial statements. During this time, we did have some quarterly transfers. We specifically transferred $216,000 to the general fund from the road use tax to cover the road use tax wages paid out of the general fund. To date, we have transferred $750,000 from the road use tax budget. Do you have any questions?
No council questions? Are there any public questions or comments? Okay, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Schubert?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Gowdy?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hoop?
Yes.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
I need a motion to approve liquor license transfer for May 13th, The Spot, to operate a beer garden in the 13th Street area.
Move for approval.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Is there discussion or any council questions? I think this is a special event that 13th Street District is having. Are there any public questions or comments? Hearing none, we have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Warren?
Yes.
Gowdy?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hoop?
Yes.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Schubert?
Yes.
I need a motion to, there is no motion, is there? For number 17. Would you like to address number 17, Mr. Nickel? Okay. This is regarding 2015 microsurfacing project 7601-5003. The floor is yours.
Yes. Thank you, Justin Nickel, Public Works Department. As the item states, we did seek bids for a microsurfacing project, and we did not receive any bids for the second time. We also bid this job last year and did not receive any bids. We were rather disappointed that we took the time to reach out to the company in Fort Dodge and that we didn't receive any bids. But alternatively, on the day these bids were open, Bruce Campbell and I were at a Asphalt Paving Association seminar all day. We did have the chance to speak with several engineers that work for the Asphalt Paving Association, and we brainstormed a new treatment option that we believe will work. So Bruce and I will work to get those plans together and hopefully get them out to bid. The price would be fairly comparable. In discussions with one of the engineers that had some specialty in it, he thought it might be as much as 10% more expensive than we anticipated for the microsurfacing, but he also suggested that it might last almost twice as long as the microsurfacing. The new treatment would be a thin overlay, so we'd mill off either 3/4 of an inch or an inch, whereas normally, like on the 2016 mill and overlay project, we mill off 2 inches and replace two inches of asphalt. It seems as though it's a good process. I know it was working in Kansas City before I left there, and we did see a presentation at that asphalt seminar about, I believe, the city of Norwalk had used it last year with success, at least through 365 days. So we'll make an attempt to change the treatment and put it back out for bid, and we'll bring it back before the council. Any questions?
So I imagine for that to work, it depends what surface we're going to be putting that on. You have to
it
have
does.
A
solid base.
Good surface to do.
And the microsurfacing we chose to apply to this street, because it is a newer street, I think it's either 7, 8, 10 years old, something like that, that we wanted to keep a good street in good condition. And I believe that this new treatment of the thin overlay will help us to do that. And I should mention that the local contractors are capable of doing that. We don't need a specialized contractor like Fort Dodge Asphalt or I forget what the company in Harlan was called. Cessford or Minots would be able to apply this treatment.
Great. Are there any questions? Okay.
We will get the street done.
One way or another.
Yeah, we will get it done.
I can see how you'd take an asphalt street and grind it. How are you going to grind that concrete street down and put the 1 inch on?
Well, 6th Street has it's asphalt.
Yep.
6th
Street. This was for
6th
Street.
You sure?
Yep. Be happy to drive it with you.
I'm going to drive it tonight. Seems like it's...
And to answer your question, you can grind concrete as well. It's a little more...
I know,
more,
but that's really an expensive
right,
project.
A little more labor-intensive than grinding the asphalt. It's like styrofoam peanuts versus
yes.
Concrete. Any other questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion to approve Resolution 2016-069 of support and financial commitment for the Main Street Iowa program and approving agreement through July 1st, 2018 and providing annual financial support of $24,000 paid from the downtown tax increment financing and urban renewal area number 4 tax increment revenue fund.
And this is just an annual thing that we do every year for the downtown. It's nothing new. It's what we do every year to keep the program going, and we have TIF money available to continue the program.
Is there a motion?
Move for your approval, Your Honor.
It's been moved.
Second.
Seconded. Any questions? Any public questions or comments? Okay, hearing none. Roll call, please.
Greer.
I better abstain. I'm on the CBD board.
Hoop?
Yes.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Schubert?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Gowdy?
Yes.
I need a motion to approve Resolution 2016-070, accepting bid and authorizing the award of contract for 2016 Mill and Overlay Project 7601-6004, Cessford Construction, $675,456.50. Motion.
I'll move to approve it.
Thank you, Mr. Hoop.
Second.
Thank you. Okay, yes.
Justin Nickel in the engineering division. I'm pleased to bring this item before you. As you can see in the memo, we did receive a low bid of $675,000 and some change when our estimated engineer's cost was $980,000 and some change. This amount will help us to beef up our crack sealing program that is still in need of funds. We thought we may have to cut that back a little bit. So this additional $300,000 will help us to do more crack sealing this year, of which we hope to bring before you the resolutions ordering construction on both the asphalt and concrete crack sealing at our first meeting in May. I'm encouraged by the bid prices we got by having a little competition between Cessford and Minot's. Normally, Cessford is the only bidder for our asphalt projects, but Minot's has several DOT jobs in the Marshall County, Tama County area, and so we were pleased to receive two bids. And I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding this item.
Okay. Any questions? Any public comments? Okay. We have a motion and a second for resolution 2016-070. Roll call, please.
Hoop?
Yes.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Schubert?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Gowdy?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
I need a motion to approve resolution 2016-071, approving contract and bond for construction of the 2016 Mill and Overlay Project with Cessford.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any questions? Roll call, please.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Schubert?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Gowdy?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hoop?
Yes.
Okay, with item number 21 off the list, off the agenda, we are down to discussion items, and we have one discussion item tonight regarding the Village Co-op street light request.
Your Honor.
Yes.
May I ask something first,
sure.
Please? Could, in the future, when we have two resolutions, one approving the award, the contract, and one to approve the so we can sign the contract, why can't we just put those in one resolution and just run it through?
I think you should ask the real mayor that question.
Or Sherry.
Or Sherry.
I think the way that the Iowa code reads, it may require separate resolutions.
Would you check that out for sure? And if we can shorten those things, it'd be really nice.
This is not a long meeting, Mr.
No.
Lamer.
I know, but it's still, we've done this several times tonight.
Check out the
we've done this for many years.
Yeah. I know. Okay. I'm just curious why it's coming up tonight.
Monday night football is coming.
Yeah.
We got to get this over quicker.
We don't typically do accepting the bid and approving the contract at the same meeting.
Okay.
That's one reason.
Okay.
Okay. We're up to the Village Co-op streetlight request. We have some information from Mr. Nickel in our packets regarding the street lighting policy. Would you like to come and address this first, or do you want to speak to this issue?
Justin.
Okay.
Yes, included in your packet for your information are our street lighting policy, and then we did have our city electrician provide a list of the known request for installation of streetlights over the last almost 20 years, highlighting that by the streetlight policy that the requesting party or the developer has been responsible for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, the dozen or so installations over those 18 years. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And the city always pays for the continuing monthly
yep.
cost.
That's thereafter. An excellent point, is that the developer, the requesting party, pays the upfront cost, and then to make things equitable, the city is responsible for the ongoing maintenance and the electricity costs from that point on.
Are there any council comments, questions?
Do you know what that cost is, $50-some a month?
I think it's 12.
12 a month?
Yeah, I think that sounds right. And then there's a yearly maintenance
a month
fee.
Per light?
Yeah, it's $144 a year.
Yep,
I think is where we're at now.
Have we talked to the developer and found out why they did not put them in?
I'll let the requesting party.
I think they did
address that question.
I think Mr. Reardon has an answer for that.
John Reardon, 915 West Merle Hibbs Boulevard, the Village Co-op. The developer, who lives in Minnesota, I talked with him, and he said he would not put in the street lights. But what happened when the project was underway and built, I don't know. And on the drawing submitted to you earlier, we were way off on the footage. And I have given a copy to Justin. It's 640 feet from Noway Drive to our turn-in. And according to the way I read your streetlight policy, if there is a street that goes over 550 feet in one block area, the city is required to put up a light. Do I have an answer on that from anybody?
Justin will answer that.
I'm not sure that, the policy directly addresses that. As I read it, then the next line goes on to say that the lighting would commence with the development of homes in that subdivision. I think that's part of what we're also hoping would happen, that with development of that mid-block between Norway and the co-op, that a developer would install those streetlights.
Well, so. According to that city ordinance, the way we read it, you know, that it's over, if it's over 550 feet, there should be a light there.
I guess I don't understand how the developer can say, no, I'm not going to do that, or I'm not interested in doing that. If it's his development, he should have to do that.
That's right. Well, Justin wasn't here when that development occurred, and I wasn't here when that development occurred. So why that light wasn't put in, I couldn't tell you. I don't think anybody can. But I don't think we can go back 5 or 6 years later and force him to put a light in. That's going to be semi-difficult. We're talking about 90 feet difference between what the ordinance says and the separation. And I don't know if it's worth $2,000 for the public as a whole to put in a new street light, plus pick up the annual cost. I mean, over 90 feet is when there isn't a tremendous amount of traffic in that area because it's a dead end. But that's a council decision to make.
But there is a lot of foot traffic, and there would be a safety factor.
Big safety factor.
And if we want to look throughout the city, there are dark areas that probably could use another street light or two. And so if that's our purpose, is to do that, we can start spending money on those kind of things. So it just depends. We have limited funds to do things. You get to decide how those resources are spent.
Well, we have a proposal for you.
Thank you.
If you would take and put the street light in, the first one, and the city take care of that, the village people have decided that we would pay for the second light so that we have some light out there. And that would cost the city $964 for their pole, and we have to get $964 for our pole. And I think, you know, with the LED bulbs, that's going to save money on the electricity, and that's going to give us adequate lighting for that street.
Well, it won't save us anything, because we're going to pay $12 a month no matter what right. bulb's in there. So we're going to pick up $288.
But if you go back to your city council meeting, October 24th, 2011, a council member named Marla Grabenbauer moved to add two streetlights to the electric bill as requested by the village co-op, with the requesters, which is the village, paying for the streetlight installation. It was carried 7-0. So it's already been approved by the city that they would pay the electric bill, which, like you say, it's $12 a month.
We do that for every light.
Right.
Yep.
Well, it's a big difference in the footage. I think that's new information. I didn't realize it was that great a distance. Is this isn't considered an intersection? Is that the issue?
No, this is not an intersection.
No, I know. I mean, it's a cul, does it end in a cul, I can't remember, does it end in a cul-de-sac, or how does it,
well,
at the village, it just, the street just ends, the driveway goes up,
and around
the parking area.
Right. But this measurement is from Norway Drive, that dead-end little street that was supposed to go up over the hill.
And there's a light right there.
There's a
but
light
there's
there.
No other light beyond
and there's
that.
No other light clear to the village, which is 660 feet.
The beginning of the driveway is 640 feet, you said. 40 feet?
Yeah, 640.
I have a question, please.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm wondering if the exclusion of this light in the middle of the block has anything to do with the lawsuit that the city was involved in just to get the street built to go to the village with the with one developer. I wonder if during all that process, that's why it was not installed, because we went through many years of hassle with the and court costs just to get a street to these people, if I remember correctly. And maybe that's why that light is not there. It may not be an oversight. It may be something that just wasn't thought about during that court cases. I don't know that. I'm just throwing that out, because I think that's why you have that 600 feet, because I think that's the 600 feet that we were in court over.
And again, the people that were a part of that
aren't here.
And I don't remember, just in conversations, that coming up, but that doesn't mean that wasn't actually a part of it.
I don't know that. I just know that could have been one of the reasons why this light was left out.
But there was a motion made in 2011. It was approved 7-0. What are we arguing about?
Yeah, I agree.
Then we should probably make a motion just to... Mr. Reardon and I have talked back and forth many times on this, and my feeling was if they're willing to pay half of this whole cost, and it was actually, I think Mr. Lamer is right, when that fight was being taken under through the court system, it probably should have been put in by the city to start with. And I think at this point that we would be advised just to pay half of that and get these people some lights and go move on. For $1,000, which I'm guessing the city was obligated to do to start with.
Well, it's not going to break your street light policy if that street light policy is 550, 640.
What was the motion back in 2 years ago? What was your motion?
That you read from 2011?
It was, from 2011. Marla Gravenberger moved to add two streetlights to the electric bill.
We're going to pay
the electric bill. But the requesters, which was the village requesting the lights, they were going to have to pay for the light installation. And at that time, it must have just went away, because a lot of the people said they don't recall where it went. You know, the village will be 6 years old in June of this year. So, but I think it would be a fair proposal if we just went 50-50. We'll pay for the light down there, and the city can say, hey, it's over the 550. We'll put in the first light.
What street, does anybody recall what street would be on the other side of the village co-op? What street would that meet up with?
12th Street's way over there.
What's that?
12th Street is way over.
Yeah, I know 12th Street is, but what street, if there weren't a dead end by the development, if it were drawn up north, where would that meet? What street is that? I just wondered, is that an intersection? Would that be an intersection someday? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, since this is, I know you have something to say, Bill, and then I'll.
Bill Eggleston, 509 Brentwood Road. Leon, I think your question, the land has not been platted along that street, so there is not a developer outside of the city putting in the street. So it would not be Jack Gethman's responsibility because that hasn't been platted.
Okay. So is this, so because this is on discussion, we can go back and take a look at that. You said it was October 2011?
October 24, 2011.
We can go back and take a look at that, those minutes, see what transpired then, see what's been done.
It's done.
Come back with a recommendation, with the footage being different, talk more about this. Is this an intersection or not? Get you some more detail, but this October 2011 meeting, we should take a look at and see what we agreed to do or not to do then. Because if we agreed to do something there and we didn't, then we need to take a look at that.
Thank you. Thank you for your homework and your research.
So we would have this on the
May 9th.
May 9th for
action.
Action.
Yep.
Is that agreeable?
If that's okay.
I have the city attorney involved as well, correct?
Pardon me?
Always.
I have the city attorney involved, is that correct?
I wasn't a party to what happened. I don't have any prior history that I'm aware of, but of course I will be involved.
Well, I think if people go out and take a look at what they call the village, they would appreciate the place and the number of tax dollars that go in, the number of tax dollars that are coming off those beautiful townhomes. So I hope you'll consider our 50-50.
Thank you, Mr. Reardon.
Thank you.
Yep. So we'll make sure that's on the 9th.
Okay. We've reached the time for public comments. Is there any member of the public that would like to address the council on a topic we have not covered tonight? Yes, sir.
Totally different. Thank you. My name is Paul Allman. I live at 1906 Bailey. I am not the Paul Allman that lived there before. I'm Paul D. Allman. And I want to thank you this evening for allowing me to address you. I'm a member of the Iowa Valley Bicycle Club and an avid cyclist, and I'm here to invite and encourage you all to continue the excellent support the city of Marshalltown has given to bicycling in our community. Specifically, we would like to invite you to join us in supporting and participating in the National Bike to Work Week activities being planned. National Bike to Work Week is sponsored primarily by the League of American Bicyclists, and this year will take place May 16th through May 20th, with Bike to Work Day on Friday, May 20th. Even more specifically, we encourage Mayor Lawrence and all council members to join us in leading a short commuting ride at 8 a.m. Friday morning, the 20th, leaving from the Cultural Center along Lynn Creek Bike Trail. By doing so, you will help show our citizens and community your support for the benefits of bicycle commuting to work and school, and help encourage them to do so as well. Currently, we estimate that more than 100 Marshalltown employees ride their bicycles to work on a regular basis. Some do so because the bicycle is their only regular means of transportation, but all have experienced the benefits to their health, seeing the beauty, particularly this time of the year, of our community up close, and have aided in making bicycling in Marshalltown safer and more visible. The city has done an outstanding job of improving the safety for all bicycle riders, both those commuting by bicycle and those who enjoy riding for health and recreational purposes. This has been done in part through your ongoing support for safe and accessible standalone bike paths and trails like the Lynn Creek Bicycle Trail, as well as the improvements on the on-street Class 2 and Class 3 facilities and markings. Thank you again for your support, and we will be in touch with each of you with more details and to discuss your active participation in Bike to Work Week and Bike to Work Day on Friday, May 20th. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer now or at any time any questions that you might have.
I've got a question.
Uh-oh.
Are you the same Paul Allman that helped us get the bridge over the creek?
I don't think so. I just moved here a year ago.
Really? Okay.
That's my son.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if he was involved.
I think he was. I learned at the last trails meeting that Paul Allman had been involved in, was the main one that spearheaded that effort to get the bridge put across there.
Oh, okay, good. I've been involved, and they've been trying to get me more involved, and I look forward to working with the Trails, Inc. people.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allman. Are there more public comments? Yes, Mr. Eggleston.
Bill Eggleston, 509 Brentwood Road. I've handed out a proposed street improvement for the council's consideration. The old railroad crossing at the juncture of Boone Street and Brentwood Road is going to be included in the trail project. A mill and overlay project is scheduled for Brentwood Road in the immediate future. That was approved tonight. I believe this would be an ideal time to remove the hump in the roadway. The Boone Street portion is concrete. This picture is looking Boone Street towards Brentwood Road, and I've put a line across there which is on either side of the existing driveway, so there would be no change in the elevation of the streets, the driveways, or whatever. The other one I'm putting up here, this is on the Brentwood side. And again, if you look where I drew the line, that is beyond all the driveways, so there would be no changes in the elevation of driveways on either side. The Boone Street is concrete now. The Brentwood Road, I'm pretty sure, is concrete with a asphalt overlay. To make this improvement, there would be two concrete cuts. You could take out the existing concrete, remove the hump. You'd have to put in a curb and gutter then and a new street. I think this is, there would be no changes to sewers or anything like that. I think this is simple enough. It could be an in-house project. There's $30,000 in the budget for Marshalltown use with the trail project. Thanks to Joel. If anybody has any questions, I try to answer them. I gave information on this to Justin before the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Eggleston. Okay, are there any other public comments? Oh, yes.
Bill Eggleston, 509 Brentwood Road. A year or so ago, I made a suggestion that when you increase the charges on the water department bill, that you should explain it to the public. It wasn't done at that time. You recently changed the stormwater rates. A couple of weeks ago, I had three people basically in the Lincoln Way area with over 2 acres were wondering why their bill had gone up so much. And actually today, I had the daughter of a council member make a comment on how high her water bill has become in the last 5 or 6 years. So I would encourage the city to explain what their charges are on the water bill.
Well, there's an error in that the stormwater rates haven't gone up yet. That would have been the sanitary sewer rate. It wouldn't have been the stormwater rate. We're in the midst right now of doing the study on the stormwater rates. But the sanitary rates did go up.
I thought you approved the stormwater also.
Nope. We haven't yet.
A few years ago.
No, not yet.
Okay. Well, explain it when you do.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Eggleston. Yes, Chief Ryerson.
Dave Ryerson, Marshalltown Fire Department. Well, I got some good news and I got some bad news. So we'll start with the bad news first. You should have gotten a copy of the press release that I put out this morning. Over the past several months, we've had a series of arson fires in town. I'd like to say that there was something that connected all the fires together, but there isn't. The only common denominator is that they're either vacant or unoccupied structures. So we've reached out to the public and with the help of Marshall County Crime Stoppers to see if we can solicit some information on who might be setting these fires in town. So there's the bad news. So the good news, our firefighters participated in the fight for air stair climb again at the beginning of April, and for the seventh straight year, they won their career fire division and had the best time for all fire departments in the state of Iowa. So, good news.
Thank you, Chief. Congrats to the participants.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Are there any other public comments? Okay. Seeing no one approach, this meeting is adjourned. Oh, and we're going into closed session. I need a motion to go into closed session pursuant to Section 21.5, Subsection 1, Paragraph C of the Code of Iowa to discuss strategy with counsel in matters where litigation is imminent, where its disclosure would be likely to prejudice or disadvantage the city in that litigation.
So moved.
Second, Your Honor.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please. You can do this.
Warren?
Yes.
Gowdy?
Yes.
Greer?
Yes.
Hoop?
Yes.
Lamer?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Schubert?
Yes.
Thank you. We'll give time for people to exit, and then we'll call the roll.